Just want to warn our viewers out there listening to the PatCast Radio that we use some pretty heavy and explicit language during this episode of the PatCast. I just want y'all to be forewarned. Also, on another side note, we do spoil 30-year-old movies on this, so if you haven't seen Planet of the Apes or Rocky IV or any of these movies that are, you know, pretty old, you should also probably cover your ears. I don't want you kids and ladies and gentlemen getting spoiled out there. I don't want you crying to us, sending us angry tweets, angry emails, angry Facebook messages, texts. Well, you probably don't know our numbers, so you probably can't text us. Just keep it at bay. This is your spoiler alert, so just, you know, calm down out there, folks.
I want the Colts to win by 40 every game.
Really?
That, to me, is the most entertaining way to watch a Colts game. I want to see an absolute dominant performance. If I'm watching two teams I don't give a shit about, if I'm watching, like, Steelers-Ravens, yeah, I'd love to see it go to overtime because I don't care about either of them, and yeah. I'm there to basically be entertained.
I'm the opposite. I don't. I'm. I wouldn't say the complete opposite, but I don't follow pro football as much. But I watch college football right. A little bit more. So, like the Hurricanes, for instance, I would love them to be playing because Florida State's their rival.
Yeah,
you know, major rival. I would love for them to be playing a game against Florida State where it's back and forth, and I don't know who's going to win. But ultimately, of course, I want the Canes to win.
Sure.
But I really just want it to be I do not like blowouts. Mm-hmm. I like a really close game that has me on the edge of my seat. Because if, you know, for instance, the Colts are up by 30 at halftime, you're like, well, fuck, they're easily going to win this game. Why am I going to watch the second half of the game?
Yeah, but that second half is the best part of the game because you're just watching some team they're playing just wallow.
I guess I love that edge of your seat feeling where you're like, fuck, man, you know, like, who's going to win this game? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I love that.
Yeah.
Welcome to the PatCast.
Yes, 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 yes. PatCast, come have a blast. Step on the gas. Smack a giraffe is the PatCast. Come talk fast. Pass some gas. Make it last. It's the PatCast, PatCast, PatCast. Hey, man, it's badass. PatCast, PatCast, Pat, 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 Pat. Hey, it's the PatCast.
Hello and welcome to the PatCast. I'm Patrick, your host. We've got season 8 here of the PatCast. We're on our 8th season, celebrating the 8th anniversary of the PatCast, going back 8 years. Can you believe that? We're in 80 episodes in 8 years. It's a big deal.
It's like 10 a year.
It sounds like we've been consistently productive.
It sounds like we have.
Of course, that's not true at all.
We do one per month with a two-month off-season.
Let's not ruin the illusion.
Oh, you're right. I'm always bitching about pulling back the curtain. I don't know better.
Oh, my gosh. We've got a great group of guys here on the Pat panel today. To my left, we've got Tyler Mullins. Hello, Tyler.
Pee-pee.
Across from me, we've got Kevin Morse, Dr. Mo. How are you, Dr. Mo?
What?
Dr. Mo, sitting next to Dr. Mo is another famous doctor.
Hi, I'm Craig.
Well, this is confusing to me.
I'm on board. I am on board.
I thought it was Dr. Kenny Schultznov. Apparently it's Craig.
No, it's Dr. Kenny Schultznov.
You know, many people have called you
Sometimes
Craig.
Sometimes I go by Craig.
Yeah, a lot of people have called you that throughout the years on the show.
It's a nickname that popped up years ago. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, which nickname would you prefer? Would you prefer Greg?
No, I'll go by what?
Greg Sheldon.
I get called Greg as often as I get called Dr. Kenny Schultznov.
What about Gary?
That's a name I haven't heard in a very long time.
Well, maybe we could make it, I mean, Gary.
Let's revive the Gare Bear.
Gare Bear. Well, he's the love expert.
One of my least favorite people on earth is named Gary. I don't want to go by Gary.
Gary the love expert? That's one of your alter egos.
He's no love expert. What?
You're Gary, though.
Right.
Your alter ego, Gary. He's a love expert.
Let's move on.
We've spent too much time on our introduction.
We're
here.
Still on it.
We've got a topic at large here today that we are going to talk about. The worst movies we've ever seen.
Oh.
In our lives.
Okay.
A lot of us here, you know, are somewhat movie buffs, maybe some more than others. We've seen plenty of movies. Over 1 million films have been seen by all of us combined.
Easily.
Yes. Easily.
Are you sure it's not two?
I'm pretty sure.
Are there 2 million movies? Pornos do not count.
No, they count.
That's of course they count.
Well, then, yeah, we're pushing three.
So, I know some of Kevin's worst movies he's ever seen. He can't stand the sight of them, the thought of even bringing them up. Just really,
you have
just
a whole list of movies like this.
Just really pulls his
his leg hairs.
There's a few. I blame Patrick for one of them for sure.
Sure, maybe even two. I'm sure there's more.
Oh no! Hot Rod's fantastic. Hey,
Brother Solomon.
Those two.
I liked Brother Solomon. Okay.
Hey, listen, we're not those. Those are. We're saving those for the best movies we've ever seen. So hold that.
We took a vote earlier, and the consensus was that those were the top two.
So Tyler had never seen Brother Solomon. I saw it opening night in theater. I was the only one in the theater. Tyler, however, were at Walmart. Shortly after the release of this movie, he sees the DVD, and I don't even really... All I have to do is show it to him. I don't have to say anything. He bought it solely on the cover. You know, smiling Will Arnett and a smiling Will
Forte. I was
going
to say, I've never seen the movie, but I've seen the DVD cover, and, yeah. I hate that as much as anything. It's probably my least favorite DVD
cover. How could you possibly
DVD
hate
cover.
That?
Oh,
we can talk about that later. Worst DVD covers, because I definitely have one
for
that.
Oh, well, I've got
one.
My
it's
answer,
awful.
Although we've already talked about it.
Well, we'll save that one for later. Worst okay. DVD cover you've ever seen. All right, so Kevin, I do want to start with you because I've already pretty much started this by saying I know what yours are. So why don't you go ahead and reveal, or just say, do one at a time. We'll talk about the first one, then we'll talk about another one.
Okay. Right. Well, this all happened when we were living down in, or when I was living down in Florida with good old Pat Mahoney here.
That's not his name.
No, that's not my name, sir.
Patrick Mahan?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I meant Patrick Mahan.
Pat Mahoney.
And you would think it was a movie I had seen growing up, loving Nintendo and like all the different things about it. You know, you got Metroid, you got Kirby, you got Link.
Where's my Metroid movie, by the way?
Yeah.
Where's my Kirby movie?
You've got Donkey Kong, but...
I'm still waiting for a Duck Hunt movie.
And, of course, Duck Hunt. But, I mean, of all the beloved Nintendo characters, you've got, of course, Super Mario and his brother Luigi.
Yeah.
And they decided to make a movie out of this. I don't remember when it came out, but I missed it. I missed the boat.
Early 90s.
I'll say 91 or 92.
Okay. So they were trying to capitalize on the, you know, late 80s nostalgia of Super Mario Brothers. And since I didn't watch it then, I don't know if they really captured it then. I was a little older then, so I just didn't catch it until, you know, the last
2009.
2009. Yeah, 2010, somewhere around there.
It was 1993.
Oh, okay. So it came out in 93.
I thought I had to be a little older because I specifically remember seeing the big like poster for it, like a big cutout at a movie theater, like a big to-do about it. And I was just like, oh, Mario Brothers, that's a cool movie. I never saw it till years later either.
Yeah.
Much, much later. What was that movie even rated? Do you have that pulled up?
PG,
it,
probably.
It was PG?
Ray.
I guess it had to be. But I feel like it was like R or something for some reason.
No, there's no way it was R.
Doesn't. Have it on Wikipedia.
Because Nintendo wouldn't allow a movie, like a Super Mario Brothers movie, to be rated R.
That's true. I don't know why when I was younger I thought it was like supposed to be some sort of cutting edge like take on the video game.
Yeah.
Like
it was a different take on the video game. Maybe not cutting edge. Like at least as far as...
Like Land of the Lost or like Green Hornet or something? Where it's
sure.
Like a,
I liked Green Hornet.
I know, but it's like an adult remake of
okay.
Like a TV show or something.
So right. I guess my problem with it, I'm not... Did I watched it with you and Earl Babbage, right?
Yes.
Okay, so was Mr. Lurie
there? Earl.
Mr. Errol?
It could be.
He may
possibly.
Have been.
Could
were
be.
We at Scott's apartment?
Yes, we
okay.
were at Scott's.
We were watching it and we're like, hey, let's watch this. Like, all right, I'll give it a try. It just from the get, I honestly, it's, I don't even remember. I've tried to block it from my memory. I don't even remember like how the movie went. I just remember that the Goombas were actual like fucking people. Sorry.
You can say that.
Okay. With like,
this
what?
Is XM Radio.
What are you doing?
You can say whatever.
You don't have to censor yourself.
With small heads. I'm yes. sorry. Goombas were little mushroom characters in the original game. And then. King Koopa or Bowser, I'm not sure which one he went by in the movie, I can't remember now, was Dennis Hopper, who's a great actor, but it's a like it's a dragon slash dinosaur in the video game, and it just didn't translate well for me.
Okay, that's a weird gripe though to make about a movie like that, because when a movie deviates that far from the source material, could you really like get upset about it being inaccurate? Because they're clearly not trying. At no point in that movie did they try to make Koopas, or did they try to make Goombas look like mushrooms.
I mean, they went
a completely different direction.
I guess I get that, but I just couldn't picture them being anything else, so that's why I had a problem with it, I guess. And I mean, and I honestly, at this point, I can't even speak on the plot because I honestly don't remember what happened. I think I just tuned out probably 30 minutes into the movie because I was like, what the hell is this? What am I watching?
I think it was a little confusing.
Mm-hmm. The plot is confusing. I don't remember either, but it is confusing.
It's for me, it's awful. Now, I won't go on to another one. Never mind. That one's, I don't.
Any other thoughts on the Super Mario Bros. Movie?
Apparently, Dan Castellaneta narrated it. Voice of Homer Simpson.
Wow. Oh, okay. It just for me it was because I've watched movies that I liked when I was younger that I've seen since I've been older and they didn't really like hold up very well. This one I was watching for the first time, you know, as I was older, and I was just like, nope.
You as a video game fan though and a movie buff, I am surprised that you hadn't seen it sooner.
Yeah, I don't know why I hadn't seen it. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of times people that, you know that I like movies a lot, they'll, you know, once people find that out, like new people that I'm meeting, they'll be like, well, have you seen this? Have you seen that? Have you seen, you know? And inevitably, there's always one of those movies that I haven't seen that somebody mentions. Just because I enjoy movies a lot doesn't mean I've seen everything there is out there.
That happens to me a lot because I do watch a lot of movies, but I don't see a lot of, like, blockbusters.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them just aren't interesting to me for whatever reason. So when I talk about, when I mention like I'm big into movies, I get people asking me about all these blockbusters. And I'm like, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that. And they're just like, you haven't seen shit. And I'm just like,
I think it's all relative. It's all relative to what you enjoy and what
First of all,
like.
There's a lot of movies.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
I mean, I was born in 1988. You know how many movies were made before that I have to catch up on? Like, there's a lot of movies to watch.
Yeah.
Do you know what the budget was on Super Mario Bros.?
90.
I'm gonna go.
Okay, no. That way off. 48 million.
So there's like a string.
It made 21.
Okay, so there's like a string of movies. 48 million. It made 21. So it bombed.
Yeah.
Jeez. So there's another movie, and I think it's just the that remind me of. I guess you can just tell that time period of like either the graphics or the costumes or. Just the weird absurdity. What's that movie? And it's got a simple title, and I'm not even gonna name it, but it's got the villain from Ferris Bueller, the principal, in it.
Howard the Duck?
Nope, not okay. Howard the Duck.
You said
they go. It's like him and his wife go to space. John Lovitz is the bad guy. They go to Saturn, I believe. Whew. They're driving their car through space, but the graphics and stuff remind me so bad of it. Came out like the early 90s, and it reminds me of Super Mario. Like just something about it. It's like, well, I can pinpoint that's like 92.
I think you can pinpoint a lot of movies based on the CG effects because
Mom and Dad Saved the World.
That's the movie. Have you seen it?
No, I've never even heard of it.
It was on TV the other day, okay. And that's the only reason why it's in my head. I'd never seen it either, and I was like, why are they even showing this? This is really, really bad.
I think that's the problem.
Looking at the screenshots, though, and what the fuck is this movie?
What does it have on IMDb? We need the IMDb rating.
I'll tell you why you thought it reminded you of Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, exactly. That's
because
the thing.
There's fucking those Goombas
little,
in it.
Yeah, those little things came up and started attacking like the
there's,
guy.
There's these little mushroom creatures that look
so
like
they've
Goombas.
Got the Goombas.
That's
right.
A more
that
accurate
movie.
Goomba.
Yeah, they've got the more accurate Goomba.
Like that's a very accurate Goomba.
And I think like if you go back and just to touch on Super Mario Brothers again, if it had come out like later, if it come out today, you'd be able to have like a CG Bowser and a CG Goombas and the Koopas. Be a little bit more realistic than having like people play them. Like there was just no way to probably really do that back then.
Right.
And I mean, I recognize that, but it just shouldn't have been done if you couldn't do it the right way, right. I guess.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of this movie.
IMDb rating?
3.8.
It's got to be less than that. There's no way it's that high.
5.2.
How in the world is it that high? Honestly, it's got to be like a cult classic.
That's
IMDb
nostalgia.
Ratings are
that's
a little
you
bit,
can't use.
It's true.
Yeah. They're a little
people
bit.
Rank it because nobody's gonna rate this movie 3 stars. They're gonna rate it 1 star, or they're gonna rate it like 7 stars or 8 stars. You need usually like a like actual critics to rate it because average people are not going to give a movie sort of in between. They either love it or hate it.
Right.
Or
do you know
maybe
how to pull
give
up,
it a 5?
Do you know how to pull up what now has the lowest rating? Because I know at one point it was Troll 2 until that became a cult thing.
I'll try.
I mean, they have the top 200 on there, which I know that for a while Shawshank was at the top, and then it was followed by Godfather.
Shawshank.
Redemption.
It was funny because, like, during that whole, those two people who escaped from the New York prison, and I kept, like, people kept referencing it to Shawshank, and I was like, okay, I get it. They escaped from prison just like Andy Dufresne did in Shawshank.
Yeah, let's talk about Shawshank right now in the worst movies of all time. Can we talk about it?
No.
It's Kevin's favorite movie, by the way.
That's your favorite movie?
Spoiler. Oh,
yeah. It's not even the best movie in 1994.
Okay. You going to say Pulp Fiction or Forrest Gump is better?
Well, I'm not going to say Forrest Gump is better. But yeah, I'm going to say Pulp Fiction is better.
No.
You're wrong.
The bottom 100, I think I heard about this happening, is Saving Christmas, the Kirk Cameron movie from last year.
Oh. That's true. Oh, well, that just happened.
Yeah, so that just happened. Yeah.
It was like Dark Knight was number one as soon as it came out. Like,
well, Troll 2 was there for a while. And I made Kevin watch that too that same year. And Kevin left halfway through.
That's true, but then I did end up watching it again later. Yes. I think it was on
Netflix.
It was on Netflix, and then I'm not sure if I watched that or Best Worst Movie first.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't seen the documentary about it, that
I have. Thing, I've seen both.
While I'm talking to the general listeners, that thing is fantastic.
Yeah, that's really.
It's
good
so.
It's very. It's. I mean, it's better than the movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Which is
it's
pretty,
a.
Well,
well. Yeah. I mean.
Which isn't hard, I guess.
Yeah, but it's the well to me. Troll 2 is one of the things that it's so bad it's good. I mean, there's not even a troll in the movie. There's not one single troll, in the movie.
Yeah.
But it's the bad lines. It's just. They're in a town that's called Goblin, spelled backwards. I mean, there's a whole list. Yeah, Nilbog. It's like there's a whole list of things about this movie that make it. It's great.
No.
In its weird way.
Right.
It was produced under the title Goblins.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why they attached it to the original Troll. It's not even like that movie was.
Well, why wouldn't you, Patrick? You gotta hit your.
Yeah.
You gotta hit your cart to the fastest horse.
Don't know how to speak English.
The director didn't even know how to speak like full English.
To give their direction to all these American actors. You know, I loved the fact that what the dad was like. He's a dentist, in real life,
yeah.
And he still practices dentistry, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. that to me is great.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen Troll?
The original?
Yeah.
Nope.
I can't.
But there's somebody in it who's fairly...
Sonny Bono.
Oh, wow.
He's not the lead.
No, he's not.
I was going to say.
He's...
I thought there was a girl in it, though, that was like relatively famous, at least at one point.
You know the main character's name in Troll?
No.
Harry Potter.
What?
I am not shitting you. The main character in Troll, it's a junior and a senior, a dad and a son. Harry Potter.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. No shit.
That's
and that weird. Was well before the books.
Oh, yeah.
Well. Well before.
That's what interesting. Year was that?
Troll.
1986.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What, the first book came out in what?
94.
Really?
It was early.
Sorcerer's Apprentice came out? I mean, Sorcerer's Stone came out in 94.
What did you say?
I said Sorcerer's Apprentice. I meant Philosopher's Stone.
There's another bad movie.
Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in it.
That's
oh,
it.
Really?
See, I knew there was someone in
but
it.
She's pretty far down the billing list.
Yeah, she was in it.
Before Seinfeld.
Yeah. But during SNL.
She was on SNL?
Yeah.
Okay. 97. What?
First Harry Potter.
Okay.
Tyler, any movies that you consider to be the worst you've ever seen besides Sorcerer's Apprentice?
The Room.
Oh, The Room.
Here's the thing about these movies. Like, when you get a movie that's so bad, it doesn't
like
matter.
Troll 2.
Yeah, but it doesn't. You don't have to see. If you had seen Troll 2 in a vacuum, like if you had picked it off a DVD shelf, you knew nothing about it, you didn't know about its reputation or anything, you would still enjoy that movie for how bad it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a level of bad where other people have to tell you to mm-hmm. watch it ironically. You mm-hmm. would do that anyway, naturally.
Yeah.
The Room's the same way.
Yeah.
If you saw The Room and you didn't know anything about its reputation, you would immediately start laughing at how terrible it is. Because, I mean, there are... See, because it's the difference between, it's like X-Pac Heat, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's bad movies that are hilarious, and then, but, like, on a natural level.
Sure.
Nobody needs to tell you to watch Troll 2 because it's so bad it's good.
Yeah.
If you watched it, you would know.
Yeah.
So,
as soon as it starts, you'd know.
Truly bad movies... are the ones that are, like, unwatchable.
Right.
You can't find any redeeming value in
like
it.
Like Geely.
Which is my answer, Overboard.
Mm. Overboard?
The worst fucking movie ever.
I wish Matt
put
was here, too, though.
Film.
Oh, my God.
Matt would defend
it's,
it.
Oh, I will, too. I will, too.
Worst.
Matt and I will defend
it's
a lot of the same movies.
Unwatchable.
No.
It's un fuck watchable.
Unfuck.
I think I here. Okay, so it's definitely not like a great movie, but a lot of movies.
It's the exact opposite.
A lot of movies that I defend that are like that are ones that I like. We had on VHS when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I would watch them like over and over again. And we had a lot of movies, so it's not like. We only had like three movies, and I only had these three movies to watch. We had a lot of movies.
Right.
For some reason, I just really like, I thought it was hilarious when I was younger. And
right.
In defense of what you're saying, I have not watched it probably in the last like 10, 11, 12 years.
Neither have I.
So maybe I would find it probably not, you know, be as, you know, abhorrent as you apparently are about it. But
yes.
But I probably wouldn't have it. It probably wouldn't be as redeeming, which. Willow is one of those ones that did not hold up for me. I watched it when I was younger.
What?
I watched it when I was younger, and then I watched it within the last couple of years, and I was like, this is awful.
It's Willow.
Oh, I'm upset that when I type in Willow to Wikipedia, it goes to a tree and not the movie. Not the masterpiece.
Okay.
With what's his name? Warwick Davis?
Yeah, Warwick Davis. Val Kilmer's in it.
Val Kilmer.
Yeah. He's like the... hero, basically.
Yeah.
Past Willow.
Yeah. Dieter von Kunth himself.
Yeah. It just didn't...
Directed by Ron Howard, by the way.
What? Yeah. Wow.
You just bashed a Ron Howard film.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, it's not Super Mario Brothers.
Who directed Overboard.
Yeah, they can't all be Apollo 13.
Yeah. Or Beautiful Mind. Yeah, it didn't hold up for me. So I don't hate it. It just didn't... I had a much fonder memory of it from when I was younger.
It was no Wraith.
I got to say, the 80s are taking a hit in this podcast.
The 80s are taking a hit. And early 90s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's...
Wraith is another one that's... Well, for you, I never saw it until you, but I was just like, well, this is... It's not even that it's bad. It's obviously of its time.
Right.
Have you ever seen The Wraith?
No.
Charlie Sheen from like 86.
No,
and
I know
Ron Howard's brother.
No one
ever knows about this movie.
Before I showed it to Patrick, so many people even since, and the only person who had heard of it was Matt.
Yeah, Matt was the only one.
He
knew exactly what it was.
Yeah, I said Wraith, and he's like, fuck yeah. And I think for me, a lot of it has to do with the 80s like kind of hair metal soundtrack that it has.
Yeah.
So that does it for me, as well as just kind of like the, I don't know, I like the racing and the main bad guy is a little cheesy. I mean, he's your typical like
80s bad guy. Yeah.
Like Billy Zabka.
He's
no Billy Zabka, but you know, he kind of follows in that same vein.
Randy Quaid's in it?
Yeah, Randy Quaid is in it.
That's right.
Sherilyn Fenn's in it?
Yeah.
It's
a stacked cast.
I mean, certainly I recognize that it's no, you know, like, Oscar-worthy movie, but it's just one of those ones that, like...
It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I mean, it's of your youth, so you're going to look back on it.
Right. I mean, and I'm trying to think, like, when you say guilty pleasure, like...
Well, what are, like, some from, like, the early 90s that we'd always watch, like, that, you know, that we look, like, back pretty fondly on, like, that probably aren't looked at, like...
Well, it's all relative to your time. So, like, you know, since I'm a little bit older, since the, you know, like, I watched those movies when I was younger, where maybe, you know, you wouldn't have been old enough to watch them.
Like Blank Check.
Yeah, see,
oh,
that's...
That. Okay.
See, well, and I've seen that. Right,
you're just going to start naming movies in the Alpine Crest Video Library.
Yeah.
It was basically movies that were remakes of classic TV shows.
Yeah.
Like
Little Rascals, Beverly Hillbillies.
Beverly Hillbillies, yeah. Little Rascals.
Wow, Dennis the Menace. They were really on a roll there in the early 90s with those movies.
Those old TV shows. We get mad about remakes now.
Yeah.
They were bad then.
They've always been around.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
Well, I guess I should say always.
Not in the 40s.
Well, right, because there was original stuff back then. Gone with the Wind. But we kind of got off a little bit of topic. Tyler, what was your? Did you come up with your worst movie?
No, it's not Willow.
He's at The Room.
Oh, that's right. You said The Room. That's right.
But it's also my favorite movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. By the way, that movie was on my Netflix. I've always been impressed by Netflix's like recommendations for me, like because I took the time to actually go through and rate every movie I've seen.
Yeah,
and then go through and fill out my taste profile. Like,
how
interested are you in these genres or whatever? It's pretty exhaustive. Like, they cover everything. So I went through when I got a Netflix account. I filled out everything. I spent like 2 days filling out everything. So like all the recommendations they give me are spot on. Like even movies that I think I'm not that interested in,
mm-hmm.
it'll give me like a 4.5-star recommendation.
Yeah.
I watch it, love it. And I'm like, how did you know, Netflix?
You know me so well.
It knows so well, but I remember The Room. When The Room got put on Netflix, it recommended it to me at 5 stars.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Gave perfect rating. It was like, Craig, you're going to love this movie. Like, I'd already seen it, but I was like, I just thought it was funny that right out of the gate, they were like, this is going to be your favorite movie.
My pretty funny.
Favorite thing about that movie, though, is like, have y'all all seen it?
I have not seen it. You can
like, there's,
talk about it.
Well, yeah, okay, spoiler alert. There's multiple sex scenes in this movie, and they're, like, shittily done.
Yeah.
But what's great about it is, like, early on in the movie, you have this sex scene. It's, like, really uncomfortable. And then later, there's a sex scene, and it's the exact same sex scene.
Yeah.
And they just recycled it.
Speaking on that real quick, I watched the movie Hitman.
I haven't seen it.
The video game movie.
Yeah, I don't worry.
And it was so weird because I had just gotten done watching the show Dark Angel. Where?
Oh, God.
What year was this?
I don't know. 2007, maybe? Anyway, I watched Dark Angel. And what was, you know, different about those people is they had barcodes on the back of their neck. Same with, you know, the agents from the Hitman show. So I'm watching the beginning of Hitman. It's showing footage that was shot for the movie. And then all of a sudden, for like 30 seconds, it cuts to footage from Dark Angel. And I'm like, really? They couldn't have shot all this other footage? But at first, I wasn't sure. I was like, maybe they really did shoot more footage. But I was like, that looks so eerily like stuff from Dark Angel. Got all the way to the end of the movie, rolling through the credits. Sure enough, they thank Dark Angel for footage. And I'm like, we couldn't have come up with, like, I mean, Fox owns both of them. I guess that was the thing.
Yeah.
You couldn't come up with more footage and just put, like, you know, barcode tattoos on the back of people's heads. But
it's physically impossible.
It's physically impossible. So they had to borrow from a not so great TV show.
No.
Going back to The Room. Yeah, that movie's amazing. Because that, I mean, you know what that movie reads like? It reads like a movie that took like 10 years to film. And he's just like, every 6 months, he was like, let's knock out this scene.
Yeah.
Because every scene is so radically different from the scene before it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lighting and the audio and the people in it and everything. There's, I mean.
Tyler, you've said that you hate it, but you also love it at the same time.
Yes.
And you've said you
I think you love it, but recognize it as a terrible movie.
Okay. Right.
Just like you have to. I mean, it's an objective.
Okay.
It's
just like me with Troll 2. I know that it's awful, but it's great.
Right. I just was trying to clarify.
Just like you with Super Mario Brothers.
No,
you're like, it's
so
bad, but it's great.
Nope. I will deny that till the day I die.
You know, Super Mario Brothers was also in the Alpine Crest Video Library.
I don't remember ever seeing
it. They didn't pull it out very often. I'm surprised you never saw it, though.
I never saw it.
I remember watching it at least twice there.
What is the Alpine Crest Video Library?
Oh, Alpine Crest is the elementary school we went to.
Oh, okay.
And they had like 12 movies.
Okay.
That if you went there, because we of course went there from, you know, K through 5. So like in aftercare and summer care are the times when you would watch movies. Because obviously regular school you wouldn't watch movies. But so any of us that spent a lot of time at school, because our parents worked all the time, we got to watch the same like 12 movies,
right?
Over and over and over and over
and over.
I've seen Huck and Finn like
Milo
17
Notice.
Times. Fucking Milo and Otis. And it was like every day they would always give us a choice.
Homeward Bound.
And they would be like,
"It would always be a choice.
You want to watch Beverly Hillbillies or Little Rascals?" And we're just like, "Well, we watched both of those last week. Let's go with Little Rascals, I guess."
Yeah, I wonder how many times we saw that movie.
Seriously.
There. Gosh, that's all I associate it with. If I see anything about it, I'm just like...
And the best part about all these movies is we never finished them.
No.
So I've seen the first like 45 minutes of all these movies 150 times. I've seen the end maybe once.
Yeah.
I don't know how any of these movies
that's
end.
That's how school movies always. Like, you know, that's kind
of never
stuff.
Watched the end of it.
I remember being in middle school, and whenever our chorus teacher wasn't there, they would always put on...
Fantasia.
No, it was always Amadeus.
We had Fantasia.
Oh, Amadeus.
Amadeus, which...
I had to watch that in...
looking back on it now, that movie was
kind
of filthy.
Too.
Yeah,
like,
that's
why
crazy.
Was I watching
movie.
That in middle school? So it must have been an edited version, because I don't remember it that well.
Right.
I just always remember that being the go-to
movie.
Yeah,
I watched
to, like,
it.
And
they showed that to
Amadeus.
Us in high school in one of the music classes.
In our music class, we always watched Fantasia or Peter Pan, the Mary Martin.
Oh, yeah. Broadway
version, which I loved as a kid.
Where you can see the
when I was a kid, at Christmas one year... My grandmother asked my mom, she was like, what does Craig want for Christmas? Like, what should I get Craig for Christmas? I was like super, like, you know, 2, 3 years
Peter
old.
Pan costume.
And my mom goes, get him Peter Pan. like the Disney Peter Pan.
Right.
My grandmother shows up at the Mary Martin Broadway production of Peter Pan, and my mom goes, "What the hell is that? Like, he's like 3 years old. Like, he's not gonna like that." I fucking loved it. Yeah. I watched the shit out of that movie.
Here's another thing that's so bad it's good. It's going with what you're saying and going a little bit less with movies. Do any of you remember? And again, Kevin, you might have been a little older, so you might have missed it. The Ninja Turtles Broadway show, the Coming Out of Our Shells music tour. They were a band. They played Radio City.
No.
They played on the marquee of Radio City. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. The storyline. Oh, you got to YouTube it. Just all original music. Shredder hates music. That's the storyline.
Okay, so I had a soundtrack.
Yeah. You had probably the cassette was Coming Out of Our Shells. No, had him with guitar.
CD, my friend.
Or CD. I had the cassette.
A little noise discipline, Kevin.
Woke up beans.
Jesus. This is what we get for recording in the kitchen.
If you were watching this recording, you would think there was an earthquake.
Okay, anyway. Oh, okay, so you had the CD. I had the cassette.
It was the first CD I ever owned.
Was that for that?
It was like tour. I thought it was like the movie soundtrack, but I guess it was the tour.
It's called Coming Out of Our Shells.
Well, I know the song Coming Out of Our Shells. Yeah.
Okay. And there's like Pizza Powers on there, Sunk of Pizza Power, and can't remember what else. The storyline is Shredder just hates music. He's going to take music away from the world, so the turtles have to save the
world. It's getting a little footloosey.
Yeah, pretty much. Of course, April's there. Splinter. Splinter has his own song. It was a little depressing. I always skipped it on the CD.
I do remember that. I do remember my CD. I still have it.
But anyway, so it's literally on the video, they're playing on the outside marquee of Radio City, the Turtles.
That's crazy.
In their outfits.
That's funny.
Yeah. YouTube it. It's one of the best part about, I think what's even funnier than the actual entire show, because the show gets repetitive after a while and it's your normal like sort of Broadway like show for kids. There's a making of VHS, which I also had, and that's like a complete like mockumentary. Like they're with producers and stuff.
I really hate when Patrick brags about stuff.
Sorry, I bragged about having both VHSs.
Oh, okay. I was like,
but it has like Donatello backstage. He's like, I'm the producer. You know, I that's what I do. I produce things. And then the best part is because the turtles seem completely high. Like Donatello's just like, oh, we were making music. That's exactly how they sound.
What's going on?
I thought you were looking it up.
I am looking it up. I'm confused about this too.
Yeah, but it's so ridiculous that it just needs to be seen more than it needs to.
This is literally the first time I'm hearing about this.
Yeah, Coming Out of Our Shells tour, because it was capitalizing on the popularity of the movies.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
So what they pushed out like the original, and then they pushed out like Secret of the Ooze was like within a year.
Within a year, yeah.
And then the third one didn't come out for like another couple of years.
No, it was like a year later.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, also, I hadn't even seen the third turtle until I watched it with Patrick. It was like after we got the Blu-ray box, right? We watched the third one. I'd never even seen it.
I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I watched the first, I remember seeing the first two in theaters for sure.
Yeah.
I had the VHS of all of them, but the third one's the only one I specifically remember going to the theater to see.
Yeah, I only had the second one on VHS.
Yeah. I wore the first one out so much.
I
love that first movie.
Oh, it's good. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those ones that I definitely, that one holds up for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else you're finding out?
No, there's some quotes here from the VHS. There's apparently a point in the show where Shredder goes, "Does anyone want a New Kids on the Block album?" And the audience screams, and then he throws it into his music destroyer and says, "I hear they're breaking up."
It's true. There was a whole segment where he was like picking on people in the crowd and stuff. He was being a dick. Yeah. Like Shredder's just being a complete dick.
Points for a kid in the audience. "What's your name?" "Peter." "Is that your sister?" "Cousin." "What's the matter? You couldn't get a date?" Shredder's just fucking with people in the audience. He's heckling the audience.
The worst part, too, is he had this weird effect on his voice, like, as he's talking.
Right.
It's absurd.
Oh, apparently there's a lot of continuity errors.
Really? You don't say.
They're exhaustively listed here on the TMNT, or Turtlepedia. Leonardo plays a one-string bass, which would make it impossible for him to play more than one chord.
Overboard's great. Just gonna put that out there. Don't cut this out.
Just cut that whole
Overboard section. Apparently was a remake of an Italian film called Swept Away.
Oh yeah. What do you think of that movie, Kevin?
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn Oscars. Do it.
You know, the only movie I've ever fallen asleep in was Nacho Libre.
That was on the other day.
I fell asleep in
it. And I've never gone back to watch it. Like,
oh, you're fine.
I want to I want to like it, though.
Why?
Because it's fucking wrestling and Jack Black, yeah. And it seems like I would enjoy it.
No.
I'd rather watch Turbo, a Power Rangers movie.
You'd rather watch what?
Turbo, a Power Rangers movie?
Power Rangers movie. We already talked about Power Rangers movies.
Yeah, Turbo, we've already, had animated that. Snail movie, because that was actually pretty good.
What?
Oh, no, we were supposed Turbo? To talk about
yeah.
We were supposed Turbo. To talk about yeah. least favorite DVD covers.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
let's
talk
right,
about that.
That's right.
I know mine. I'm just going to get it out of the way, because I've already talked about it on the podcast, but it's the Planet of the Apes cover that I saw on Amazon with the Statue of Liberty on it.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Right?
It gives away...
I know.
Here's the thing. Now, I've never actually...
Spoiler!
Right, spoiler alert. By the way. I've never actually seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Spaceballs is what gave it away, but someone explained to me what the joke was from the end of Spaceballs, so I didn't know. I was like, well, what is this from?
If you want to hear my story with my experience with that ending, go listen to podcast episode whatever
27.
Yeah, no topic three or something. I don't know what it was, but
I don't know how many were.
Anyway, I was gonna say the interesting thing about Planet of the Apes was it was originally a French novel, and the twist in the French novel, it had a twist, but it was completely different, because obviously you couldn't really do the Statue of Liberty thing in a book. So the way it's done in the novel is two astronauts find a message in a bottle in space, and they read it, and they read this account of, like, this Taylor's account of him landing on this Planet of the Apes and everything, and it's all fucked up. Then at the very end of the book, they start laughing and they go, "Hi," as if like a human could actually write this. And you find out that the astronauts are actually apes.
Apes, okay. Yeah.
So that's the twist in the book.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of interesting. They both had like a really effective twist, but completely different.
Mm.
So that was cool. So the planet wasn't actually Earth in the book. That was totally novel to the
movie. Okay. Hmm. But yeah, Spaceballs ruined, not well. I mean, I've never.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It. But, I mean, I do understand that some spoilers, like some endings, have become so ingrained in our culture that, like, I mean, nobody who watches The Sixth Sense nowadays
that was the one
is going to appreciate
right.
the revelation.
I still freak out every time I see that movie. I do not see it coming. Just like I'm still appalled that every time I watch Titanic, it continues to sink.
This brings up a good point. The 1998... Movie Awards? Seven?
For Titanic, it would have been the 98.
Yeah,
98
it
awards?
Came out in 97. Out
so, 97. What was the...
Oh, yeah. Me and Patrick were talking the other day, and I don't remember how we got on this topic.
Me neither.
But I looked up the 1998 Movie Awards.
Yeah.
MTV Movie Awards.
What was the most shocking moment in a movie or something?
Please tell me it was Titanic sinking.
It was like... all it said was, ship sinks.
Has anybody seen Titanic 2?
Titanic Carter?
What?
I remember that trailer. The Titanic 2 trailer. Does anybody remember the trailer?
I remember the trailer. It's an Asylum movie. We talked about it
a
couple weeks ago when I was reading you all those Asylum titles.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, they did make a Titanic. That's straight to DVD.
Titanic 2.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. But there was a fake trailer years ago compromised of how, like, Leo's character, Jack, survived. And it was compromised of, like, all his... It was just clips of Leonardo from a bunch of different movies.
Oh, okay.
Like, how he's confused.
Well, my favorite thing is always, like, the little, like, drawing that people have put up of, like, that he could have fit on that damn piece of whatever they were on.
Right,
like, why... Like,
a lot of people complain about that.
Well, and, I mean, I guess... and I definitely get that, and that's probably accurate, but... I mean, maybe I'm analyzing this way too much. Maybe the weight of another 150, 160-pound person would have brought it down.
Well, when they're initially getting on it, they're both trying to get on it, and it kind of, like, pulls up.
Right.
And that's them, like, that's it. They're like, oh, well, we can't get
right.
on
yeah,
it.
Like,
no, but seriously,
like
there's nothing worse
enough.
Than when a director goes out of his way to explain something to the audience, like, without actually saying it. Like,
right.
Bros, I don't think I can fit on this door with you. Like... They try it, it fails, and, like, they move on. You don't need the dialogue, but people will still go in and be like, why the fuck couldn't you fit on the door? It's just like,
or take turns.
Rewind 30 seconds.
Or take turns. I mean, she could have been on it for 5 minutes. He could have been on it for 5 minutes.
He loved her, Kevin. He wanted her to be comfortable.
I understand that.
But if she loved him like he loved her, which is the way the movie portrayed it, then they should have both been switching off.
First, it was a different time. Secondly, he was young and foolish. He displayed many times during that movie he probably thought he could survive. Because he had survived on his wits and his strength alone up until that point in the movie.
Maybe we're analyzing Titanic too much.
No, I don't think we are, because I guarantee they had this conversation when James Cameron was probably writing it. Actually, I don't know if James Cameron wrote it. I assume he did. I mean, he pretty much, he's an auteur.
I'm pretty sure
he did.
So
watch the credits for Avatar. He like produced it, directed, wrote it, shot it, edited it. I mean, it's
Stunt
ridiculous.
Man.
Patrick, I remember why we were looking up the 98 MTV Movie Awards. It was because I saw that. That Beck song.
Oh, that's right.
From Life Less Ordinary was nominated for Best Song from a movie.
That's right. That's right.
And I saw that Men in Black won. Will Smith, Men in Black won, as you might expect. So I started scrolling through the other categories in the 1998 MTV Movie Awards and found this is a bit odd because some of these categories are, or some of the nominees were like, why was this nominated?
But that's,
for example,
expected.
Best Action Sequence. This is from 1997. The movie's released in 1997. Best action sequence. I'll just give you the rundown. T-Rex attacks San Diego, Lost World. Bug attacks Fortress, Starship Troopers.
Jesus.
Motorcycle / helicopter chase, Tomorrow Never Dies. Ship sinks, Titanic. I mean, that some committee had to get together and be like, how should we word this? Just write ship sinks. That'll get the point across. The winner for Best Action Sequence at the 1998 MTV Movie Awards, Speedboat Chase, Face Off.
It's pretty good.
No, Kevin, what is that? That was supposed to be. Supposed to elicit like a what?
Yeah,
or
that was
really?
Supposed to. Nope, no, it got a pretty
Kevin
good.
Kevin throws his hand up like, I can't argue with that.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty fucking face entertaining.
Off. I love pretty Face good. Off. Face Off's great. It's cheesy, but it's great.
No, but I love the MTV Movie Awards because there's always like one nominee in each category that just seems totally out of place.
Yeah.
Best Fight, Demi Moore versus Viggo Mortensen, G.I. Jane. How does that get nominated for Best Fight at the MTV Movie
that,
Awards?
Viggo Mortensen was really good in that movie.
Sure.
It was, I don't know, I thought that was a pretty good movie. Anyway, we were Planet of the Apes was worst cover.
Yeah, I would say that's the worst I've ever seen. Probably.
The one that really, and the reason I even brought it up to begin with, and I remember, I'm pretty sure I talked about this with Patrick when it came out. Great movie. It just was so lazy, Up in the Air. I don't know if you can picture.
What was?
Up in the Air with George Clooney.
Oh, that. Yeah.
It was literally just him and Vera Farmiga. I could be totally butchering her name.
No.
They're just sitting. It's literally a screenshot of them sitting at a bar in one of the scenes with like this blue hue around them. And it's just awful.
I think I have a slightly different DVD cover. But okay. I mean, I do have the DVD and I think it's...
But I just was like, this is just like the late... Like even some movies that like Photoshop... And this was a big argument about the Avengers Age of Ultron poster. It just looked like all of them were Photoshopped into like a scene that didn't exist in the movie on the poster.
Right.
And while that seems to be kind of careless as well.
Tyler, do you have one? Brother Solomon?
No, actually,
it infuriates me every time I say it.
It's the best!
I used to see it on your shelf all the time, and I was just like, ugh, what is that? Because it was like on the end. I could still see it.
Yeah, it's on the side.
Yeah, I had to stare at it all the time.
I honestly don't know. Like, I can safely go with any Nicolas Cage movie. Because he's, like, every cover is just him.
Yeah.
Right.
But I want to go back real quick to something that Kevin brought up earlier. Uh-huh. Which was movies sort of from the past, or maybe it was Patrick that brought it up, from the early 90s or whatever, that we kind of have a nostalgic feel for.
Right, I said that.
Aside from, like, the Alpine Crest movies, there's a bunch of movies that I call, like, Saturday afternoon movies. Because it seemed like they were always on TV when I was a kid on Saturday afternoons, like on TNT or TBS or USA or whatever. And they're usually like action movies, or they usually start like either Sylvester Stallone or something. Like I feel like I watched Cliffhanger, you know, like 17 Saturdays in a row when I was a kid. Or like a lot of the like early Michael Bay movies, like Con Air or something. Mm-hmm. Like those were always on TV.
Right.
When I was a kid, I feel like I have those movies memorized. Mm-hmm. And then every now and then I'll see the movie like on HBO or something. I'll see like the unedited version. I watched Con Air with Matt not too long ago on HBO. And I was like, this movie's fucking like filth. Like, I mean, this is a fucking horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you forget when you watch it on TV all the time. Mm-hmm. You completely forget like what this movie actually is.
I remember catching The Matrix on TV once, and when it was so like heavily censored, you know, it was badly, you know, obviously like the overdubs were just like so terrible. But I was just like, oh my gosh, how can anyone watch this?
The funny thing about Con Air is like when I was a kid, like if it was on TV, I'd watch it. I was like, sure, I can, I'll watch Con Air. And then when I saw the unedited version with Matt, I was like, this movie's terrible. It's like it needs the commercials to pace it. Like, I don't know. It's probably more that I'm used to the TV version.
Right.
But I remember watching it all the way through and I was just thinking, this movie's really bad. Like, but I'm sure if I saw it on TV tomorrow, I'd be like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Our like movie collection when I was growing up consisted of sequels of movies. So like take the Indiana Jones series.
All right.
Of course, when I was growing up, there were only three.
Right.
For whatever reason, we had what a lot of people consider the worst of those three is Temple of Doom. That was the only one we had.
That, by the way, that's a Saturday afternoon movie for me.
Yeah.
I feel like that was on TV all the time.
Yeah.
And I loved it at first, grew to hate it because I saw it so many times.
Right. And that was the one that was the only one that I watched. So I didn't even see, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade for like
those
years.
Were like never on TV.
Yeah.
I think it's because those can make money. Like Raiders is considered like one of the better, one of the better action movies ever made.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're not going to give that away on free TV. No. So a lot of these movies kind of get protected.
Right. So I grew up loving Temple of Doom because of that. Because that was the only one that I watched for so long.
Right.
Just a couple other examples real quick. And there's many I could give, but these just other two stand out a little bit more. Nightmare on Elm Street 4, Dream Masters. For some reason, I had that one. And I had seen the other three and then the fifth one because that was another one I kind of grew up with as well.
Right.
Which probably shouldn't have been watching when I was 8, but that's what my dad let me watch. Anyway. But yeah, like for whatever reason. So I loved that one. That one was always like my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
What did you say? Showgirls?
I said Showgirls that I watched in,
When you were 8?
When I was 8, even though it came out in like the 90s and I was 8 in 88. And then Rocky IV. But honestly, like, if I've watched all the Rockies, now I realize that Rocky 1 and 2 are a little bit more Oscar-worthy.
Right.
But I just love the whole, like, training montage and the whole Soviet angle.
Rocky 4 is the most Rocky movie.
Yeah.
That movie's like a parody of Rocky movies. Because mm-hmm. it's nothing, there's like 4 significant montages.
Yeah.
Like, between, like, I'm driving through town and I'm angry because Apollo's dead.
Right.
And then I'm training in Russia.
Spoiler alert. Apollo dies.
We'll put a spoiler at the beginning of this episode.
I'll tell you what frustrates me about Rocky IV. When I was a kid, okay, I was obsessed with Rocky when I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. I used to watch the first 4 just on a loop. When I was in middle school. Yeah. That and Rambo, I would go back and
forth. Rambo, yeah.
I loved Sylvester Stallone in middle school.
Rambo was another one. We had Rambo 3, but not the other two.
Right.
I don't know why.
Rocky 4, I always loved, when I was a kid, for whatever reason, I always loved the line in the middle of the fight with Drago. When Drago's in his corner and, you know, his corner man's talking to him and he says he's like a piece of iron about Rocky, like he just won't go down. And I, like, as a kid, for some reason, that line, like, I loved it. But it was in subtitles because he says it in Russian.
Mm-hmm.
The DVD that I have doesn't include the subtitles for the Russian speaking parts. And there's no way to turn them on or anything. And it just, that always infuriated me because that was like my favorite part of the movie when I was a little kid.
That's weird.
It was that one line and it didn't exist in the DVD.
Huh.
I don't know why.
It's weird.
Rocky and Rambo are both really interesting series because, of course, they got beat to death. And they eventually became nothing like their original movies.
Mm-hmm.
But First Blood and Rocky are two fucking perfect movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, First Blood is a phenomenal movie. It really touches on some heavy themes, and it's got great action. And Rocky, of course, won Best Picture. Like, Rocky is a legitimately fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm.
Then everything after that, like, almost ruined the reputation of the first ones, because Rambo was just like a, you know, shell-shocked vet in the first one, and then he turns into, like, a huge action star.
Right.
And then, like, you know, Rocky turned into, like, this movie series that was known for training montages, yeah. When in the first one, it's, like, a legitimately fantastic underdog story.
I mean, come on, you had Hulk Hogan in the third movie.
That's right.
And Mr. T.
Thunderlips,
I know.
Yeah. They're not showing that on TV anymore.
Yeah, probably not. Probably just edit out the whole first fight, or wrestling/...
So I'm not allowed to watch No Holds Barred anymore.
Nope.
Oh, God.
More replays of No Holds Barred.
Or Paradise.
That what was that? Fucking
Trouble
weird.
In
Trouble in Paradise? No.
No. Danger.
Thunder in Paradise.
Thunder in Paradise.
Thunder in Paradise.
Thunder in Paradise.
Is that, okay. Was that ever in syndication? Did any TV station ever?
I think it was only in syndication.
No More Hogan Knows Best.
Hogan Knows
or
Best.
Or Brooke Knows Best, the one season that it got. That
no, it was only in syndication.
This has been the PatCast. Thanks so much for listening. If you've got any terrible movies that you want to share with us, hit us up on Twitter at the PatCast. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Stay tuned for the Midnight Buffet on PatCast Radio.
On PatCast Radio.
Say goodbye, everybody.
PatCast Radio.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.